Today is Tuesday, March 26th. We'll share what's happening with some developing news this morning. A major bridge in Baltimore has collapsed, and now a rescue operation is underway. Also, we'll explain what's at stake as the issue of abortion returns to the U.S. Supreme Court today, and what's behind the strongest public disagreement between the U.S. and Israel since the war in Gaza began. Plus, what we know about federal authorities raiding Shondidi Combs' houses, the NFL's new rule to protect players that many players are against, and what a war, a scientist, and a popular kids' toy have in common. Those stories and more news to know today, next. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. We start today with some breaking news. Reports say a cargo ship hit a major bridge in Baltimore overnight, causing it to collapse into the harbor below. We're talking about the Francis Scott Key Bridge. It's an essential link of Interstate 695, also known as the Baltimore Beltway. As of early this morning, it's not completely clear how many cars may have been impacted or if anyone was injured, but the city's fire department told the Baltimore Sun a major rescue operation is underway. Video of the collision shows a towering boat colliding with one of the bridge's support columns, sending a massive stretch of the bridge crashing into the water below in a matter of seconds. All lanes of traffic are, of course, being rerouted. The Key Bridge opened in 1977 and is named for the writer of the Star-Spangled Banner. This is still a developing story, so many more details are expected to come out today. And we'll, of course, update you as well right here tomorrow morning. Today, the U.S. Supreme Court is taking up another case that could end up impacting most of the abortions that still happen all around the U.S. Justices will consider whether to limit access to the so-called abortion pill. We're talking about mifepristone. It was first approved nearly 25 years ago. Then, 8 years ago, the FDA also adopted rules that made it even easier to get. Now, justices will have to decide whether the FDA has overstepped. The court could decide to cut off access to the drug through the mail and impose other restrictions, even in states where abortion is still legal. A decision is expected by late June or July. This has the potential to impact even more people than the Supreme Court decision 2 years ago that overturned Roe v. Wade, because medication abortions make up nearly two-thirds of abortions and are becoming even more common. No matter what happens, this won't be the Supreme Court's last abortion case. Legal battles are still pending over certain state restrictions, and next month, the justices will hear arguments over whether a federal law on emergency treatment at hospitals must include abortions in all states. So stay tuned. The United Nations Security Council is now formally demanding a ceasefire in Gaza for the first time since the war began. Remember, the U.S. had vetoed several earlier calls for ending the war, saying a ceasefire would only benefit Hamas and that Israel had a right to defend itself. But it let this resolution pass, saying it falls in line with what Mideast negotiators have been discussing. The change of heart also comes now that the war has laid waste to vast areas of Gaza and civilian suffering has multiplied. The resolution specifically says there should be no more fighting, at least for the rest of the holy month of Ramadan, which has 2 weeks left. It also demands the unconditional and immediate release of all hostages that were taken from Israel on October 7th during Hamas's terror attack. And it calls for making sure there is access for humanitarian aid for civilians in Gaza. Security Council resolutions are considered international law and carry significant political and legal weight, though the council doesn't actually have the means to enforce them. As for Israel, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's government immediately criticized the U.S., saying this goes against the position the ally has had since the beginning of the war. And Netanyahu canceled today's planned trip. An Israeli delegation was supposed to come to Washington, D.C. to talk about plans for the southern Gaza city of Rafah, but that is not happening anymore. The Biden administration still says it will share alternatives to a full-scale ground invasion. Former President Trump scored a big legal victory this week. It came just hours before the deadline to post a nearly $500 million bond that was needed to appeal his civil fraud case in New York. He could have begun losing control of his bank accounts and even some of his properties. But instead, a panel of judges gave Trump another 10 days to secure a much smaller bond of $175 million. And for now, his assets are safe, so long as he's able to post the new bond by the new deadline. And Trump has said that won't be a problem. This all goes back to the case that found Trump overstated his wealth to trick investors and lenders, even though Trump insists he never did anything illegal. To be clear, this latest ruling doesn't actually give any hints into how an appeals court might ultimately rule. It could take judges up to a year or longer to reach a decision on that. Florida could soon have one of the country's most restrictive social media bans for kids and teens. Governor Ron DeSantis signed a bill into law that bans all social media accounts for kids younger than 14. Not just new ones, either. But social media companies will have to delete the existing accounts of kids under 14 or else be sued. The law also requires parents to give their permission for 14 and 15-year-olds. And if companies do not comply, they could be liable for up to $50,000 per violation on top of legal fees. Supporters say it's all about protecting children, since they blame social media for kids' mental health issues. But critics say the law could violate children's First Amendment rights, and lawmakers expect social media companies to sue over it. In fact, they already have sued other states like Ohio and Arkansas that tried to put similar laws on the books. Still, for now, the new Florida law is set to take effect January 1st. More news is still coming up, but first, thanks to our sponsor, OneSkin. So I do have an update for you about the newest skincare routine that I've been using, because the results just keep getting better and better. Honestly, I was getting to a point where I felt like my face was looking a bit more tired. But now that I've used OneSkin each morning and each night for a few months, I can truly tell the difference. My face feels brighter, more hydrated. I do feel that it's making a difference in terms of visible signs of aging. And no wonder, because OneSkin's products are powered by their scientifically proven peptide called OS1. Now, this peptide reduces the accumulation of damaged aging cells and boosts skin's natural barrier to lock in moisture and protect against the elements. And all I have to do to have all of those benefits is cleanse and apply OneSkin's topical face and eye cream morning and night, and it's so easy. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code NEWSWORTHY at oneskin.co. Go and get this. You can get 15% off oneskin.co with the code NEWSWORTHY. And after you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. So please be sure to support our show and tell them we sent you. Help your skin stay younger and healthier for longer with OneSkin. Now back to the news. This week, NFL owners made the unanimous decision to ban the controversial hip drop tackle. In case you're not familiar, a hip drop tackle is when a defender grabs or wraps his arms around a runner, swivels, and then drops his hips or lower body. It essentially causes the other player's legs and feet to get trapped, and, well, from now on, that will be counted as a penalty, and players could be fined for doing it. The NFL says the change is all in the name of player safety, since officials say the technique produces injuries at least 20 times more often than other kinds of tackles. Still, a lot of players and the players' union are protesting this change. Defensive players, especially, have said this is just the latest in a string of moves that have limited how they're able to stop ball carriers, skewing things in favor of the offense. And even some offensive players have said they're against the change, too, saying it will only cause confusion. Granted, other players who have actually been injured by a hip drop tackle say the NFL did the right thing. Either way, the ban will start to be enforced next season. Hip-hop mogul Sean Diddy Combs seems to be connected to a major federal investigation. Homeland Security agents and other law enforcement searched his homes in Los Angeles and Miami this week. They were seen coming out with boxes and bags of evidence, including electronics. And a few people were handcuffed outside the house in L.A., including Diddy's adult sons. The AP cites sources who say it's all part of an ongoing sex trafficking case. It's not clear if Diddy is actually the focus of the investigation, but some reports say there are more raids planned on his houses in New York and Chicago. So far, there's been no official statement from the federal government or from Diddy, his lawyers, or any other representatives about the searches. But in recent months, there have also been several sexual assault lawsuits filed against him. And in response to those, Diddy said people were making up stories in hopes of getting money and fame. Diddy wasn't actually seen during the raids, but TMZ looked at flight data that show his private jet touched down in the Caribbean yesterday morning. In the wake of new scrutiny at Boeing, the aircraft maker is going through a major executive shakeup. And as part of it, the company's CEO, Dave Calhoun, has promised to step down by the end of the year. Calhoun actually took over just 4 years ago to address another crisis at Boeing, those two deadly crashes involving the company's 737 MAX jets. Well, now the company is facing another crisis over the quality of its planes, especially since the mid-air blowout aboard an Alaska Airlines flight. In a message to the company's employees yesterday, Calhoun called the incident a watershed moment. But he said Boeing must, quote, come through this moment a better company. Calhoun says he will stay in his role through the rest of the year to finish the critical work underway to position the company for the future. So far, no word on who might take his place. Tesla CEO Elon Musk has started a new rule at his electric car company. From now on, staff have to install and demonstrate Tesla's driver assist technology before handing over cars to any buyers in North America. Employees will even be performing a short test ride with customers, and they'll have to give more demos after the vehicles are returned from service centers. Musk says he knows this will slow down the delivery process, but still called it very important. It comes just a couple of weeks after the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety gave Tesla's autopilot a poor rating. And federal regulators are investigating nearly 1,000 accidents while Tesla's autopilot was in use. In the past, Tesla has blamed drivers for not paying attention when the feature is engaged, saying when it's used correctly, it makes driving safer. Still, Musk decided to change the sales rules and has promised more improvements to autopilot coming soon. Once again, Target has launched a collaboration with trendy Stanley tumblers, water jugs, coolers, can chillers, and more. The new Sunshine Vibes collection came out in Target stores this week, bringing four new colors to the lineup. But it didn't go exactly like the last big release. It was just a couple of months ago that customers stood in long lines, slept outside Target stores, and even started some fights over the cups. Things haven't been quite that chaotic this time around, but that doesn't mean they're not still in high demand. The difference is this time the collection is not just going to be available in Target stores. The new additions will also debut on Target's website tomorrow. They're still expected to sell fast. In fact, many in-person stores have already run out of certain colors. That's it for the main news today. So now it's time for Trivia Tuesday, when we ask a different trivia question every week. But first, I'm excited to tell you about our sponsor, Vessi. We just had some rain here over the weekend, and I was so glad to have the Stormburst Vessis in my closet. I love the Stormburst high tops. Now, first of all, they are super comfortable, maybe the most comfortable shoes I've ever worn. I know that's a big statement, but it's important, especially if you're going to be wearing these for hiking this spring. But over the weekend, I just used them to be able to go out and about in my beach city in the rain, because not only are they comfortable and easy to get on and off, but they are also waterproof, giving me the confidence that I can adventure about in any weather and stay dry and warm along the way. And finally, they are really cute. I love the look. I love how I feel in them. In fact, they're so stylish, I would not have expected that they were waterproof. But they are. I find myself looking for more times that I can go on walks or get outside because I love wearing these shoes. So don't let spring showers or unexpected weather keep you indoors. Equip yourself with Vessi's versatile shoes at vessi.com/newsworthy for shoes that combine waterproof protection with urban elegance. Start your journey with Vessi and get an automatic 15% off your first order at checkout. Go to Vessi, V-E-S-S-I, vessi.com/newsworthy. Okay, now back to Trivia Tuesday. Today's trivia question is, how many floors does the Eiffel Tower have? You can play along with us in our weekly roundup email that comes out each Friday. As for last week's trivia question, in a quest to replace rubber, James Wright accidentally invented what toy? The answer is Silly Putty. It all goes back to the World War II era when America's rubber supply was threatened. Wright was an engineer who was working for the U.S. War Production Board, trying to create an inexpensive substitute. He dropped boric acid into silicone oil and got a substance that was stretchier and bouncier than rubber. But the government really didn't want it. Then, a few years later, a businessman named Peter Hodgson noticed the stuff was a big hit at a party, so he called it Silly Putty and decided to market it as a toy, packaging it in colorful plastic eggs because he put it out around Easter time. Millions of Silly Putty blobs have been sold every year since. All right, thank you so much for listening. Be sure to hit that subscribe or follow button in your podcast app if you haven't already to help make sure you get new episodes for free each day. We'll be back with another news roundup tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.